Today is a very special day. This is a very heart-moving moment. It was exactly 1 year ago today that I stood behind this sacred desk for the first time. It's been a good year. God has blessed us in so many ways. And my family and I want to thank each of you for all of your prayers, for your support of our ministry. God has blessed us with having each of you as a part of our life. We're truly blessed. Over the past year, I have preached mostly from the United Methodist Lectionary. I preached about obeying the call of God in our lives. I've preached about how important it is for us to have a servant's heart, just as Jesus Christ had a servant's heart. I've preached about having a personal covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father. And last Sunday, we talked about being a part of the communion of saints, the body of Christ, the church. Yesterday was a day that we all hold dear as being a patriotic holiday. We give thanks for the freedoms and the liberties that were fought for by the first generations of some of today's Americans. In 1775, the people of New England began fighting the British for their independence. On July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was published. And we're all familiar with those famous words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen. The 4th of July reminds us of our freedom as a people. If you were to ask many of today's young people why we celebrate the 4th of July, what's so special about the 4th of July, probably 50% or better would probably say hot dogs and fireworks. Because to many of our young people today, they have no concept, they have no knowledge of what our forefathers actually fought for our religious freedom, so that we could come into this church here at Bethel and worship God in spirit and in truth. It's a great celebration of our independence. But unfortunately, the word independence has come to mean something that I don't think our forefathers ever intended for it to mean. Today it means, if you're independent, you say, I'm independent. Nobody can tell me what to do. I do as I very well please, and I can do what I want to do. I'm independent. We talk about people being independently wealthy. We talk about people being independent to make choices. Truly, if we want our country to remain independent today, if we want it to remain free from the control of other countries, then that meaning stands. That's a good thing, that a foreign country, a foreign power cannot come in and tell us what we can and cannot do. But to our forefathers, The idea of independence was in the terms of individual citizen of the United States. That person had the right to worship. They didn't have to wait from somebody in Britain to tell them, you can go to church today. You can't have this product. You can't have that product. I think our forefathers had more of a word that I like to use as the title of my sermon today. Interdependence. Let's look at the definition of the word independent and interdependence. Independence means free from the control or determination of another or others. Like I said, that definition still applies to our country. We want to be independent from foreign powers. Another definition is not depending on another or others, especially for financial support. Let's look at the word interdependence. It means dependence on each other and one another. It means a mutual dependence. And I believe this morning that our forefathers, the fathers of our Constitution, intended for us to be independent of control from other countries, while as a nation we worked interdependently to provide the provisions of that Constitution. It's also true of the church today. One of the reasons that I feel like that American Christianity is in trouble today is because we have a false idea what it means to be a Christian. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, I've been in the church all my life. I know what it means to be a Christian. It means that on Sunday morning you have to get up and get dressed and you have to go to Sunday school and women's circle and you have to go to church. And if you have a midweek service, that means you got to get dressed and you got to go to that. When we think of being a Christian, a lot of people think of it as being an American. We are independent. No one can tell us that we have to get up on Sunday morning and go to Sunday school and church. If I feel like it, I will. If I don't have something else to do, I may go. I'm independent. I'll do as I very well please, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and I'll do what I please. We don't answer to anyone but God. You don't have to answer to the preacher. You don't have to answer to the deacons. You don't have to answer to the SPRC committee. You don't have to answer anybody. I'll do as I please. Actually, if this were true, we wouldn't be independent. We would be interdependent with God. Because of our Christian relationship is one-on-one with Jesus Christ. One and one makes two. So you're accountable to our Heavenly Father, even if you do claim to be independent. So with God as a Christian, we are interdependent with God. The Bible never, any place that I have read, and I've read it through numerous times, the Bible never supports the idea that we are supposed to be independent as Christians. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another, for the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Acting independently often leads to sin. Think about it. Satan, in the Old Testament, in the very beginning, taught Eve to think and act independently from God and from her husband. Sin resulted. Satan himself acted independently from God, and he was cast out of heaven along with a third of the heavenly host. His drive for independence was built on a foundation of sin and evil. The Bible teaches interdependence. We're not alone. We don't grow in Christ alone. We are built together as a holy temple, and upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, nothing good happens spiritually with independent Christians. It's a contradiction in terms. There's no power in being independent. A man went to a mental hospital for the criminally insane. And he was somewhat surprised when he walked in there and he saw that there were only three guards assigned to take care of 100 prisoners. And the man said to one of the guards, says, "Aren't you afraid that the inmates will unite and overcome you and escape?" The guard laughed and he said, "Lunatics don't unite." But we as Christians should. If we don't unite, we don't know where our power is. Because we have no power. We must not only be in a right relationship with God, but in a right relationship with one another as well. There's no power in a Christian life that is lived alone. In our study today, Paul talks about the church or about Christians in context of togetherness. Unity or the communion of faith is the prevailing theme throughout the entire Bible. Paul stressed it. Jesus talked about it. It's found everywhere in the Bible about togetherness. We were never meant to be independent in this respect. In my text today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I, talking about the Apostle Paul, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who I above all and through all and in all." Now, the Apostle Paul's comments in these first three verses were about bearing with one another in love. This is what we as a United Methodist Church stand for. Love one another. If you're finding a problem this morning with the idea of interdependence that I'm presenting to you, I want you to remember that even Jesus Christ did not act alone. He always did the will of his Father and always acted in concert with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He didn't go out on a limb by himself. He didn't work independently. Jesus had 12 disciples who worked with him. Many times they were protecting him from those that would harm him before he finished his ministry here on earth. Today, we have the triune Godhead. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even the Trinity, even this Godhead, does not work independently. All three work together, interdependently, for our good. So why should there be independence in the body of Christ? This obsession that many people have today with independence causes one to focus on themselves. You talk to the average teenager, the average young person, and everything in their life is about me. It's me, 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 me. What's in it for me? You ask somebody, you want to go shopping. You want to go to Thomasville with me. You want to go to Chattahoochee with me. What's in it for me? What will I get out of it? It's all about me. But the focus of Christianity today should be on us collectively. What's in it for us? I can tell you what's in it for us. Our reward is in heaven, to go and live with our Heavenly Father through eternity. Jesus never sent his disciples out alone. He never sent less than two to complete a task. It's easy for us to lose our focus and lose our perspective of things when we try to go it alone. But by living united with other Christians, we're in a situation of checks and balances and challenges. We're cared for and we're commissioned. We're not alone. We have a backup. A backup that can be right there with us and pray with us when we need to pray, and comfort us when we need to be comforted. Our forefathers did not proclaim independence in terms of being alone. They declared independence from control and created a union, which by definition means interdependence. I want to call your attention here to Paul's emphasis. One body, one spirit, one hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Our country was founded on this design. It was built as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It was about interdependence. Our nation and our Constitution was built with a biblical structure that made it strong. The church today is strong when it understands and functions as an interdependent group. No church is strong when it fails to have unity. God cannot and will not bless a congregation of independent believers. In Psalms 133, David says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Yeah. My first sermon here at Bethel a year ago today was about how that we are all part of the body of Christ. I talked about how that we're all equally important members of this body. I firmly believe today that we are living in the last days. I've preached that Jesus is coming back. Paul preached that Jesus was coming back. Just as we saw him leave, he will come again. I believe that with all of my heart. If we didn't have the hope of his return, there would be no use of us trying to win lost souls to Christ, of us trying to let people know that they don't have to die and go to hell, but they can have eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. We cannot live apart from the body of Christ. We're all important in this ministry. Jesus is going to return soon. we see of wars and hear of rumors of wars and natural disasters, and we see sin on every hand. All you have to do is look around you. Used to, you could say all you had to do was just look down the road and you could see sin. But it's in our homes. It's everywhere. It has spread like a plague. And the devil is jumping up and down with joy when he sees us make mistakes and sin. There's only one thing that can save our nation from total ruin today. We must, as a nation, repent of our sins and turn to God for forgiveness and for salvation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 tells us, and this is the words of Jesus speaking to King Solomon, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." What a promise. Another thing that about interdependence, it will produce mature Christians, mature believers. Believers that will not be tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine or deceitful scheming plan that the devil throws our way. But they will be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. The result of having a body of mature believers is that the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part of this body works together. The Apostle Paul insisted that the people think interdependently for several reasons. One, to prevent arrogance. Two, to develop accountability. Three, to help them mature. Four, to have a purpose. Five, to experience the awesome power of God. And six, to challenge those who live in sin. It's so awesome that we here at Bethel come together in support and in fervent prayer when someone has a horrific accident or is stricken with a serious illness. We activate the prayer chain and we band together and we pray. If a person has a need, we get out and we go see what we can do to help that person. How powerful that is. But brothers and sisters in Christ, think about it. If we all come together in fervent prayer, continual prayer for our nation, think what would happen. In these end times, we need to put aside our other differences, our political party lines, our racial barriers, our social status. And the list could go on and on. What matters right now is our Christian family. We must stand united in the Christian faith. We need to read the Bible and we need to pray. We see hundreds of different translations of the Bible coming out every year. The Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. We need to reread every word and hide these words in our heart. The Bible says so that we might not sin against God. I believe also that we, as Christians, are about to face some of the most difficult times of persecutions in the church and as Christians. As we prepare our hearts today to partake of Holy Communion, would you join with me and pray for our country? Pray for our nation. Pray for the salvation of any who may be lost. Pray for the recovery and the healing of the United States of America, one nation under God. Amen.